Amen. Amen. Yes, that's some. We want to thank God for another beautiful morning, right? And like the psalmist David said, I was glad when he said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord. Amen. That's the best place we want to be, right? Because in God's house there's freedom and there's joy. Amen. Quickly turn with me to your Bible, the book of Matthew 25. And we're going to be looking at a couple of scriptures as we go through our message. I know we're talking about family, and then we're reading from Matthew 25. How can we reconcile that, right? But let us look to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts for God's word this morning. Dear God, we thank you because you are great, and who can be compared to you? None. Even as we've come this morning, we ask, Lord, that you just speak your word, not me. Holy Spirit, go forth and use me as a tool for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, as your word go forth, may it speak to our hearts and that your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We continue with our series, Stewardship, Being Good Stewards. We've been talking about, for the past weeks, we've been talking about stewards of mind, stewards of talent, stewards of the treasure, money. And we dealt with so many things that led to stewardship, right? And today, we're going to be talking about one aspect of stewardship, family. And, you know, it now came to my mind that we are stewards of our family. And so we're going to look at it from God's point of view and see how best we can look at our family as God looked at our family also. So quickly we help. Okay. Let's go to the next slide. We consider this as our blurb, YouTube blurb. It says, our families are one of the greatest blessings we have. Right? We love our family. Thank you for the few who agree with me. Our families are the greatest blessings we have, but also they are the most important ministries. Have you ever thought about that? That my family is a ministry given to me? I never thought about that, seriously. But what does it mean being a good steward of our families? We talk about being a good steward of our money. No, let me take it back. Being good steward of God's money. Being good stewards of God's talent that he gave us. Being good stewards of the body that he gave us, our mind, our soul. But we can't forget about the family. Amen? Amen. Help me, let's go. So for our eternal truth, we want to say that being good steward of the families of God has entrusted to us requires a humble understanding that God is the ultimate owner and we are caring for people who belong to him. We are caring for people who belong to him. Our family is not ours. No matter how you love them, they're still not yours. Right? And since they are not ours, it is our responsibility first to realize that God gave them to us. And we're going to look at a couple of things this morning. Yeah.
As we consider being stewards of our family, it's not only just waking up one morning and loving our family, loving our children is good, but there is more to it. Being a good steward of our family requires us to be responsible for them. And we're going to look at that. Not only being responsible financially, morally, but also spiritually. Because why? We're going to give account of our family if we fail to do what God has asked or urged us to do. Now, long before church could even come into existence, the first institution that God put together was marriage, and the first family he created was Adam and Eve, right? And family existed long before the church even existed, before the church came into being. So you see, God design for family is far more important. Because guess what? From the family comes what? The church. If the family is together and the family follow God's principle, God's laws, and God's will, guess where they're going to be? In church. Thank you, Dennis. They're going to be in church on Sunday morning. They're going to be eager to want to serve God. So no mistake, God created family first. Let's look at a couple of things this morning as we look at family. First of all, we want to recognize our responsibility, because it's important to know that you are responsible for certain things and you have to own up to it. You have to like, oh, this is my responsibility and I have to live up to it, right? And a couple of things we want to look at being responsible is that when it comes to our family, being stewards of our family, first of all, God is the one that entrusts our family to us. And secondly, we have to acknowledge the accountability of our family, being a good steward, and also using our gifts for our family growth. Now, I kind of took Matthew chapter 25, a parable of the talents, and kind of tee it to how can we look at Matthew 25 when Jesus talked about the talents, comparing that to us as stewards of our family. How does it work? It's important because as we go forward, help me, Andrea, Jesus gave the parable of the talent of this wealthy man, the master who was leaving, going on a journey, and he called his servants, and for each he gave them certain amount to meet in, to take care of. And everyone did a part except for one. But I want to look at verse 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, mind you, don't you think this master trusts his servant before giving them a certain portion of his money or his goods? He trusts them, right? And with the mindset that they are going to be a good caretaker of what he's giving them in his absence, they're going to handle it and make sure that they do exactly what they are expected to do or what they should be doing as stewards or as servants. And now think about it. God looked at us and he blessed us with family. He blessed us with children. God is entrusting our children, let me take it back again, his children to us. It's like God is saying, hey, and so this is my children. I'm giving them to you. And it's your responsibility to take care of them. It's your responsibility to bring them up. You are steward of the children I gave you. You are steward of the family you form part of. And you know, it's kind of difficult, right? When I was preparing this message, and I started talking to my kids during one of our devotions, evening devotions. So I kind of threw a question to them. I said, do you guys think I'm, because I'm a pastor, so I'm how are you guys about church, about this and that? And they were kind of, nobody wanted to answer. I said, be free. Don't worry. Be free. Answer. And they were looking at each other. I said, answer. Am I? And I kind of understand. But guess what? So as we're going to go forward, and I brought a couple of scriptures out and kind of show them, tell them that, listen, you guys, I'm a kid for temporary because God gave you to us. And we are taking care of you. We are accountable to God if we don't do the right thing, if we don't tell you the right thing, if we don't teach the right thing to you. It's not because I'm a pastor. Even if I wasn't a pastor, I'm going to do the same thing that I'm doing. So don't be angry. Don't take it out of context that, oh, I'm pushing you. I'm doing this because I'm a pastor. God called. God gave us a responsibility. And because I'm taking care of you, I'm going to answer to God if I fail to take care of you. So parents, that's your secret weapon. Call them. Tell them that you are accountable to God. And God bless you with them. And God going to hold you responsible if you don't teach them, which you're going to look at. If you don't lead them the right way, God is going to hold you responsible. As long as they live under your roof, they don't pay the bills, they don't put food on the table, they don't do anything, you are responsible to tell them the truth. It's just like the master go on a long journey and he gave this servant, he said, take. And he went away. Someday, God going to come back. You know, like, I was telling him, I said, even if God had not blessed me with kids, I would have adopted kids. The same training I'm pushing on you, God, I would do the same thing if I adopted kids. Yes. God is still going to hold me responsible, even if I adopt kids and take them under my roof. So that's the important thing. So even as stewards of our family, God is counting on us. God is looking down on us to take care of our family. Amen? Amen. Therefore, it's kind of show, as we look at the verse, it kind of shows the nature and duty of Christian responsibility. Being responsible, knowing that you owe it to God and it's your binding duty to do what God has given you. Just as God bless you with money, God bless you with job, God bless you with good health, and you ought to be a good steward of those things, it's the same we ought to be good stewards of our family. Amen? Amen. And here's the thing. The Bible, the scripture says that in the parable, the third servant have a buried the money. He went ahead, he buried the money. He was afraid of losing it, right? He was afraid that it may have gotten stolen. He was afraid of making bad deals or making bad decisions. Sometimes we have our kids. We love them so dearly. And we don't want to tell them when they're doing wrong. We don't want to tell them that this is wrong. Oh, he's just a child. Oh, she's just a child. No, that child is going to grow up to be an adult, and they're going to carry the sin attitude if you don't take it out of their life. This servant, he was afraid. So what he did, he hid the money in the ground. He hung onto it. He tried to protect it. And in doing, that money didn't grow. And sometimes when we hold on to our children as they are the only thing and forget about God, we mislead them. We, we, we kind of like, oh, I don't want to make mistake, so I'm going to be careful. And no, they're going to make mistake. Once upon a time, you made mistake also, and you learn from it, right? We all make mistakes. But the idea here is that let God will be done in everything they do. Don't withhold it from them. Don't hold them and love them. You are the decision maker in your home. You tell them what you want them to do. And let it be according to who will? God's will. The servant tell his master, look, I kept your treasure safe. And I kept it just as the same when you gave it to me. God wants our children to grow. God wants our family to grow. God wants to see good things happening in our family. But sometimes we as caregivers, or stewards of our family, we mislead our children, we mislead our family, and sometimes because of love, afraid that they're going to do the wrong thing, regardless of why they're going to do the wrong thing. But God wants us to make sure that even when they do the wrong thing, there is still a room that they can come back and be embraced because God loves them. So God has entrusted us with our children. They are gifts from God. With the gift comes responsibility to guide that gift, to nurture that gift, and to encourage that gift to grow, to become who God wants them to be. Don't let them to be who you want them to be. Because most often, when you want them to be who you want them to be, not what they want to be and what God wants them to be, that is the problem. I was reading a book, and this author, he wrote, he says, sometimes, parents, when you wishing for good things for your child, ask God. Don't look at the next door neighbor, how the son is an NBA star or baseball star or NFL star, and you wishing, oh, I want my child to be. No, it may not be the thing God has for them. It may not be the plan God has for them. But whatever God's plan is, let God's will be done even as they seek what they want to do. You know, at my job, we have a couple of friends, and they like, when I was in school, they asked me, why are you studying? Are you going to be a nurse or doctor? I said, no, I'm not studying nurse. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to be a doctor. Let me tell you, not everybody can be a doctor. Number one, I don't love blood. I had an experience back home, you know, during the civil crisis in my country. I had a cousin who worked with Red Cross, and this day I was at his office and we were talking, and there was an accident, and he said, Ansel, let's go. We got in a pickup truck and we went on the accident scene. And I was waiting in the car. He said, man, you got to come and help me. I said, I'm not trained. He said, just come. Hold on to this guy's leg, and his leg broke twice. And I placed my hand under his leg, trying to hold it to be steady. And within 5 minutes, blood all over my hand and the smell from the blood. I dropped the leg and ran outside and puked. And like, I felt so sick. And I said, I'm not getting in that car. I couldn't stand it. So from that day, I said, I don't love hospital. Thank God I don't go to hospital that much. My wife can attest to that. I try to make sure I'm well. But here's the point. Not everybody want to be this. Not everybody going to be that. Allow your child to be who they want to be, but guide them through the Spirit of God so they can be who God also wants them to be. Help me with the next slide, okay? And in the scripture, when it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man, let's go to verse 15, it says, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and the other he gave 1 and to each according to his own ability. To his own ability. Listen, the scripture says God is not going to give you more than you can bear. Right? If God gave you 10 kids, he knows you are capable. But I got some folks in here always pray. They say they're praying for me to have another child. And I say, except the two agree, it shall not come to pass, right? Brenda can agree. If I don't agree, it ain't going to come to pass. Stay on the scripture, and I believe that. But here's the thing. God knows our ability when he blesses us. He knows that you are capable of taking care of your family, no matter the size of your family. It can be 3, it can be 1, it can be 0. But God knows your ability. And if you fail to be a good steward of that a portion that God has given you, you are failing God. You are failing God. And how about let's go to the next slide, Andrea. And even God have blessed us as good stewards, we ought to use our gift for our family growth. Financial means we are to be responsible for our family. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards. As good stewards. Now, sometimes we can be bad stewards. But God didn't create any bad stewards. But sometimes our mind, our thinking will kind of mislead us to do the wrong thing. But Peter said, good steward of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone minister, let him do as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever. Now, what is Peter saying here? Children are gifts from God. And I kind of look at it and try to tee it with this, that they are gifts from God. They are a reward from God. Just as the psalmist said in Psalm 127, verse 3, he said, children are gifts from God, right? They are a reward from God. Now, we are to, as stewards, it is our responsibility to make sure that even as they are gifts from God, that gift should be used to honor God. That gift should be used to proclaim God's goodness. That gift should be used to serve God, to know, to understand that without God, I wouldn't have gotten what I've had. Without him, I won't be where I am. And that is going to reciprocal, because our children are going to see exactly who we are, what we are, and follow the same. If we fail to be a good steward. Now, it's easy to mislead them because we love them. But it's also good when we tell them this is how God planned for their life. And when we make them understand God's plan for their life is not my plan, but it's God's plan, they're going to follow God's plan. Even if they don't, guess what? When they go, they're going to remember their foundation. Because the word of God says God's word is power and is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the heart. So once our foundation is there, no matter where they go, they can still hold on to what they have learned. So we ought to use our gift for our children in providing for them, in nurturing them, in preparing them for who God desires and wants them to be. Help us go to the next slide, please. And how can we do that? Respond with readiness. Respond with readiness. There's going to be challenges even as we steward our children. There are going to be challenges even providing their needs, even bringing them up spiritually. There's going to be challenges. And that also, but even as we try to engage them, there are going to be challenges. They're going to be problems that daily, even as we involve with them, even as we set positive example, it's going to happen. But let's see what God's word says. Anticipate family needs. As we prepare for our, as good steward of our family, Paul told Timothy, he said, and these things command that they may be blameless. But if one does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. If a family, you are a steward of your family and you cannot provide for your family, Paul is saying that you are worse than the unbeliever. Our family needs us. They need us. They need our spiritual, our physical, our social, and everything God has placed in us for them to be blessed. You know, especially for those of from Africa, we got family overseas. So sometimes when, at the end of the day, when at the end of the month, we got to send support to mom, send support to dad, pay our cousin's tuition, pay this nephew tuition, pay this, help this other person. And by the time you finish spending all, you look at it, so, whoo. You look at it, you say, wow, I spent all this. But here's the thing. Your family should not be neglected because you have to do for the overseas folks. Your family first. You know, once upon a time, I remember Vernon and I, we were trying to help our family, some of the family back home, and Christmas, we could not even get gifts for our children. And that hit me hard. It was grandma and some other folks, one or two persons, by then we were in good news, who, unknowing to us, went and bought gifts and brought it for our children. And I felt that I couldn't get my kids Christmas gift. And I was supporting, helping other people. It's not wrong, but I come to realize that I have to take care of my family first, then I can go out and be able to extend hand to others. Right? Because if I can, Paul said, if you cannot what? Take care of your household, guess what? You are worse than an unbeliever. It's good to give to others, be a blessing to others, but have your family situated first. Because God put you over them. Their happiness depends on you. Their growth depends on you. Their well-being depends on you. Why they can't go to the next door neighbor and say, oh, I need Christmas gift? Why they don't go to the next door neighbor and say, oh, I don't have food on my table? Why they don't go? Because they know you are responsible. We are responsible for them. Amen? And Jay, help me the next slide. And even as we look at providing their needs, there's also building their spiritual and physical, the spiritual life. We are not only to provide the basic needs of our family church, but also the foundational spiritual unit of our family. We, as parents, we are entrusted with a unique responsibility in a sense that we are to train our family, our children, to respect and grow in all things. Here's the thing. In Psalm 127, it says that children are a gift from the Lord, and they are a reward from Him. What does that mean? Before I go to scripture there. Now, the Hebrew word for translated as gift is called nachala, which can also be translated mean as inheritance. In a sense, this word kind of carries a strong connotation of something valuable that has been entrusted to us. If you inherit something from your family, from your parent, it's valuable that your parent and your family put it aside for you, right? And it's important that you make good use of it. It's important that you cherish it. And so it is our children. They are from God. They are precious. They are a gift from God. We are to love them. We are to nurture them. But Proverbs says, even as we love them, we should train them in the way that they will go. And that when he or she is old, they will never depart from what they have learned. Give them the word of God. Teach them, because that's your role as a steward. That's a role you have to play in their lives. That's the role you have to allow them to see who God is in you first. And if they cannot see God in you, don't expect to see God in them. Amen? We are to fulfill our godly obligation in bringing our family up as God, as stewards of our family. Help us go to the next slide, please, Andrea. When I was going through there, I went through the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13. It says, and chapter 3 talks about the priest, Eli. He had two sons. Right? And there was problem as a priest with his family, with his sons. In there, in verse 30, say, before we go there, they were not upholding, they were not doing the right thing in the temple. They were not living up to the standard that was expected of them. And so God had a problem with the priest. And so what he did, he called Samuel at night while Samuel was asleep three times. And God had a message for Eli the priest. In verse 13, it says, God told Samuel, he said, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. Now, Eli knew his sons were not living up to the standard God has ordained for them to be. Eli was not directing his children in the right path. Eli was ignoring what they were doing. Was it because of love? It could be. But he did not put them on spot. So guess what? God said, for the iniquity which he knows, because his son made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. Eli did not restrain his children. He did not put his children on track. He did not correct his children. And sometimes we love our children and we do not put our children on track. Sometimes we are afraid and think that when we push them further, they will go far away. Sometimes the approach we use is say, oh, they are kids. But no, if we fail to restrain them, not with the roar only, but with conversation. Getting to know where they are, what their mind is all about. You know, this generation is tough generation we have, right? When we were growing up back, I was sharing with Pastor Gary and Rosemary in Liberia, even landline phone, we didn't have it in our house. So if I would see my friend, it's at school. If I would see my friends, either would be on the soccer pitch. And after that, I go home, I'm not going to see them, I'm not going to hear from them until maybe the next day. Oh, but today, our kids can be in a bedroom and they're on FaceTime and communicating with someone across another place. So you see how things have changed? So it makes it harder for the steward of today to steward the family than the steward of years back to steward the family. Because we have to fight with social media, we have to fight with them, with networking, all those things, we have to fight with them, because guess what? That's exactly what the devil wants to do, to distract our children, to take them away from us. When the Bible said when God created Adam, he said everything was great. And Adam knew, Satan knew that God's plan was working because of what God has done to Adam and Eve, how beautiful they were, how God came down and mingled with them and talked with them through the cool of the day. And who did Satan do? What did he do? He broke that relationship. He destroyed God's first family. And the devil is on the rampage. He will do everything he can to destroy our family. But as good steward, it's our responsibility. Eli refused to play his part to restrain them. And God said he will judge his family. I don't want God to judge my family. So I'm going to do whatever I can do. You don't want God judging your family? So we're going to do, because when our family is healthy in the things of God, our church will grow healthy. Our church will be a vibrant church. Because they're going to come, they want to be a part, they want to come and just fellowship and enjoy the goodness of God. Amen? Amen? Help me in the next part, Andrea, please. Thank you. And in as much, we want to bring them all. This is why Moses told the children of Israel, God instructed and said, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall what? To who? Oh, only a few persons can see and read that. Teach it to who? To your children. And you shall what? And shall talk to them when you what? Sit down. Help me now. When you what? Walk by the way. When you what? And when you what? Is there any limitation there?
No.
Did God say hold on for a certain time before you talk to them?
No.
It's a continual process. And guess what? Our children will not want that happening. They'll say, oh, they'll complain. You know the best place they say boring? They say church is boring. You ask them, church is boring. But they can spend countless hours on TikTok. They can spend 2-3 hours on Instagram, all the grams and all the things they can spend there. It's not boring. How can you sit down for an hour just looking at one thing? It's not boring to them. But tell them about God's word. It's boring. Hey, don't blame them. It's the work of the devil. He's there to distract. But this is what God told the church. So he said, Moses, he said, tell them, God's word. It's our responsibility, the parent, even though as pastors and Sunday school teachers, we have the opportunity to teach your children, but guess what? They only come here one day a week, Sunday, or sometimes Friday we meet here, 2 days, thank God. But not many of them are here on Friday. Not many of them are here on Sunday. So the rest of the week, who's responsible?
Parents.
As steward, it's your responsibility. Do what you can do, church, and leave the rest with God. God knows what the plan he has for them. Just do all you can. Use the word of God. Teach them. Even if they get angry, say, I don't want God to get angry with me too. Because I'm responsible for you. Amen? And yes, the unique thing about it. And I was telling, sharing this with my children. I said, as we teach you, being responsible for you when you grow up, you're going to do the same thing to our grandchildren. You're going to teach them God's word. And guess what? When our grandchildren grows up, our great-grandchildren are going to do the same thing. It's going to keep going. That's how that you think God wanted to stop? No. God wants it to be a continual process until the day he returns. He wants his words to take effect in the life of his people. He wants his word to go forth. So if our children don't learn God's word, they can share anything with their friends. They cannot encourage their friends from the word of God. They cannot say anything. They can't even quote a scripture to a friend. Because why? They think it's boring. But God has urged us, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, to teach them. Help me, Andrea. Let's go to the next slide. You know, our reading, I took this quotation from a preacher, Alistair Burr. He says that parents have the responsibility to bring their children up, to cherish them fondly, to rear them tenderly, to sustain them spiritually, and to deal with them individually. That's a responsibility to make sure that our children grow in God's word. Amen?
Amen.
And we ought to set positive example for our children. What kind of example, as stewards, will you set for your children? Look at Genesis chapter 18. God spoke, he talked about Abraham. He said, for I know him. He said, I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. God was speaking about Abraham. And he said that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Abraham, God knew Abraham, and Abraham was a good example that his children could follow. And God could speak boldly about him. And God could talk boldly about him. And that's why God needs to talk about us. We should set example, spiritual example, good example for our children to follow. We are responsible to lead our children and our family in the ways of God. That's why God said he already knew Abraham in the book of Genesis. And it kind of emphasizes the divine choice and human responsibility that we ought to have for our family. Amen?
Amen.
And not only that, but look at, help me, Andrea, go to the next slide. As we set an example, the choir sang, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was an example given by Joshua. He said, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which you have your father served that are on the other side, but the river, or the gods of the Amorites. He said, in whose name? But as for me and my house, we what? Will. Oh, no, don't jump over, serve. Don't go to serve, but we will what? We will. He said, we will. He said, later on, he said, let me think when it's going to happen. But he said, there was no option given there as to how, when, where, no. But he said, as for his house, they will what? Serve the Lord. And that should be an example for us. No matter what, let our children know, let our family know, this house, there is no option of tired of going to church Sunday morning. You can do everything during the week. Sunday morning, I don't care how you tire. I don't care how late you go to bed. Early in the morning, you up and we go into church. This is my house. And you part of my house, you will serve God. This is my house. You will honor God. This is my house. You will love God. This is my house. You will live for God. There is no option. There is no option. Amen? I know some of my teens there, they're looking at me and say, but listen, God love you all, and God want you to be a good product of tomorrow. This church depends on you tomorrow. If we don't teach you, if we don't tell you the truth, there is going to be no church. But God depends on us to let you know. And our parents, hey, we are responsible for them. Amen? Help me, Andrea. You know, I love that little picture up there. Okay, see, I got my reward. When you have done everything, there's a reward, right? There's a reward because guess what? God doesn't allow your labor to go in vain. He sees your labor. He knows that you are struggling to put your family on track. And there's a reward. And even as you fail also, there's a reward. But we want a good reward for our family, right? And at the end of the day, there is joy in the family. There is joy in family relationship. And at the end of the day, the legacy of faith is seen. Amen?
Amen.
Help me quickly, Andrea, as we come to close. As we look at this, the parable of Jesus gave of the talent, right? In verse 21, it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. And he said, why? enter into the joy of your Lord. There is reward when our kids are brought up, when our children are being taught God's word. Even though they don't like it, even though they will resent it, they will say this, but that shouldn't discourage us, because there is a reward. Because at the end of the day, there is a reward for them also, not only for us as stewards for them, but for them, because God is going to embrace them. God is going to do great things in their life. God is going to transform them to be great men and women in whatever capacity God has deemed for them to be. But it's left for us as parents to do what God desires of them, of us, rather. And here is the legacy of faith that can become a reward. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5. And he says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother. Somebody say amen for grandparents.
Amen.
Oh, you didn't say any louder. Say amen for grandparents.
Amen.
He said, which dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice. She's very old. And he said, and I am persuaded it is in you also. Paul is excited for Timothy. Now, Timothy's father was a Greek. Timothy's mother a Jew. And during those days, whoever have the spiritual background is that person you follow. So the Greek was not considered as spiritual. So being a Jew, so Timothy learned under his grandmother and learned under his mother. So you see how the family protected him and brought him up into the word of God? That Paul could say, when I remember you, I remember your faith, it didn't come from you. It came from somewhere down the line, from your grandmother who tirelessly kept bringing you up into the word of God. It came from your mother also. Isn't that something that we can look up to and grasp and say, wow, I want that legacy of faith to be in my family? That what I teach my children, it goes not only one step, but three, four steps until God calls them. That was the legacy of faith Paul saw in Timothy. And he embraced it. And he said he couldn't wait to come and see Timothy. He couldn't wait to come and see how he's doing in the Christian faith. Because it started from whom? It didn't start from the church. It didn't start from the school. It didn't start from the playground. It didn't start from nowhere. It started from home. And our children need to grab the word of God from home daily by spending time with them. We are stewards of our children. Will everything be perfect for them? No. Sometimes by the time they get out of high school, they're gone. And you wonder, but listen, all your effort is not in vain. Because wherever they end up, they're going to end up, they're going to remember what you have taught them. You know, in our meeting, someone said, I came from a different church. And he says that, it kind of touched me, you know. He says, I grew up in a different church, a Catholic church, and there were men and women who spent their time to come and nurture me to grow in the word of God. He said, but when I grew up, he said, I could have been in the street doing things, but I was there every now and then for fellowship and what have you. But even though I'm not in that church, but I'm in First Baptist, it kind of gave me the vibe, it kind of gave me the encouragement to do for other young people. Amen. The seed that was sown in him, the effort that was done in him years as a young kid, he's now showing it in this church and being a blessing in this church. Amen. That's the goodness of God's word in the lives of our people. So as stewards church, we are responsible. God has blessed us. God has given our family to us. And it's our responsibility to take and handle and do what God wants us to do in our lives. Let us pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning. We just bless you. Thank you for your word. Lord, help us, oh God, to be the good steward you desire of us, oh God, to live, and our children and our family will be a blessing and honor you in all that they do. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Stewards of our family, and as stewards, God has blessed us with a treasure, with gift that is value to Him, and He entrusts them in our care. And remember, our family is not ours, it's God's. And we are accountable to Him if we don't steward, be that good steward that He desires of us. So even as we go this week, let us remember that we are stewards of our family. Amen? That's the girl who goes with me.
Thanks, Pastor Ansu. That's a big job, isn't it? And that job can only happen if God isn't working in our hearts as well, right? Back in Deuteronomy, Pastor Ansu, Deuteronomy chapter 6, and what prefaced that passage about teaching it to our children, it says it needs to be in our heart first. So I want to encourage us to move in that direction. We're going to close with a word of prayer, and we just want to say just a two-minute thing about our business meeting next week. So we're going to close with a word of prayer, and we just want to tee you up about a special thing that we're going to vote on this time. So let's just pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, that you're a God that's powerful, a God that's able, a God that's able to work in us and work in the generations to follow, Lord, by your Holy Spirit and your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would indeed help us to understand, Lord, that it is our job to steward our families. No one else will do what we can do. And Lord, you've given us that job specifically to us as parents, grandparents, etc. Lord, work in our hearts now to take that responsibility, Lord, with